You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Tuesday. Finally back after taking last week off following my grandfather's memorial. Had family in town and all of that. Kind of did not account for that. I haven't been down here in the studio. There are cobwebs. There are cobwebs that I'm currently cleaning out. We're also sleeveless if you're watching on video, thanks to a new tattoo that I got today. It's still in a lot of pain. We're airing it out. Anyway, enough about me. Let's get into the Michigan football stuff. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team. Every day we are going to be back trying to do it. I'm going to try to double up some of these days here. There's hopefully a special guest this week. Still trying to figure that out. Trying to bring on someone from PFF. And then we're going to get finally into some of the defensive preview stuff that I haven't gotten to yet. We did the entirety of the offense. We're just going to try to double, triple up. See, there might be some sounds thanks to the fact that computer is still apparently booting up or whatever. So anyway, we are back. I want to kind of go through some things. This might almost feel like review. I don't think it necessarily will be, but I was just on the Michigan Man podcast with Mike Fitzpatrick. That should be out this week, but I want to kind of touch on some of the things that I discussed, and that was really kind of getting into the expectations of the season. There may be some of it's review because some of it's stuff that I've talked about. Also might touch on some recruiting stuff just for the sake of, yeah, I know it's not going great. Am I concerned yet? Concerned, yes, but I'm not like jumping off of ships or anything into the ocean here. So let's start off with that because I think we can take segment one there, and then we'll talk about why I'm feeling increasingly confident about Michigan. I really do. And I just think it all kind of, it feels really good to me when I think about what this year can be. And we'll get into why momentarily. But let's talk about why I'm not jumping off of any bridges here when it comes to Michigan recruiting. Now, yes, since we've last had a podcast, Dante Moore did end up committing to Oregon. Even with that, I'm still kind of the feeling that, okay, that's not good, right? But he hasn't signed yet. You can't do that till December. It made it sound like, yeah, things are still going to take a little bit of time. I don't know what I'm talking about. I haven't been back for a while. So he made it sound like, okay, it was really close to picking Michigan, but still picked. Listen, there's still time, right? Michigan can still work on him. As long as he'll listen. If Oregon's not very good, or you know, if it's middling and Michigan is awesome, they've got a shot still, right? I don't think Michigan's going to give up. But even then, like, okay, they don't get Dante Moore. They're in a really good spot, it sounds like, with Jaden Davis, the five-star from South Carolina. So it would not be ideal missing out on elite prospects 2 years in a row. They still have some projects that might pan out from 2022, and Alex Orji and Jaden Denegal, they've got time because JJ McCarthy is going to be around for at least 2022 season, 2023. Very well could be 2024. Maybe you're relying on a freshman in 2024. Maybe you have a stopgap. I'm not really sure. But there are still options in the interim. But overall with recruiting, while my tenets still kind of stay the same, right, in the sense of it's July. Now, normally by now, we kind of have a pretty good idea of what, of kind of where the class is going in a good way, right? They've usually gotten a slew of commitments between one part of, late June into early July. They've gotten a couple. That's it. We've already talked about Deacon Tonielli. They've gotten Collins Anchiampong. I know I said that wrong. We're waiting on Eno Etta. They lost Raylan Wilson. So there's some good, there's some bad. And you're just kind of playing the waiting game to some degree with some of these guys that they're waiting on. If they get Nicholas Harbor, you got to remember, here's the thing. A lot of the guys that they really want haven't decided yet. Some have and chose other schools. So that hurts, right? but until you get to signing day, anything can happen. Anything can change. You got to remember that. Last year, at this time, certainly last year, late November, none of us were talking about Darius Clemens or Derek Moore. We were talking about Amarion Walker. They pulled a lot of guys on signing day. And if Michigan can be really good this year, which I expect it to be, then that'll change a lot. A lot of things will suddenly open up, be a lot better in the recruiting department. Even though it didn't work out in this way this last year, the best recruiting tool is winning. Now, of course, you had some things like what Jim Harbaugh flirting with the NFL. That had some repercussions and dominoes that affected that situation that weren't necessarily something that you would foresee, like Josh Gattis leaving for Miami, which suddenly people who were being recruited by Josh Gattis are like, okay, there's a new offensive coordinator. And it's like, oh, well, we trust and like Sharon Moore. Maybe Sharon Moore hasn't been the guy for a while, right? To recruit certain guys. But now Sharon Moore suddenly has to spend a lot more time because he's pulling triple duty, essentially. Offensive coordinator, offensive line coach, ace recruiter. Of course, something's going to suffer a little bit. So what it does is it puts things in flux a little bit, at least for now. Things will get easier if Michigan goes out and wins, which, again, I expect it to do. I think it would be disaster is maybe too strong a word. It would be a grave disappointment if Michigan didn't go at least 10-2. What do I think they'll go? Somewhere between 11-1 and 12-0 in the regular season. I think it's certainly possible. No one's giving them a chance to beat the Buckeyes. It's kind of annoying because usually teams get benefits of the doubt. I understand Ohio State's stacked, a lot of great players, but they're getting the benefit of the doubt on a defense because they brought a new defensive coordinator. Michigan is not, right? So that's just kind of how things go. Michigan's going to have to earn it. That's fine. I think that's probably a good thing that they're going to have to earn respect again. They need that. So anyway, all right, let's see here. We are going to continue by talking about why I'm confident in the season. Again, some of these things are things I've talked about. I think considering I have been MIA for much of the summer, and by MIA, I mean struggling with depression up in my room. I know, I'm laughing now. It's sad, but I've definitely had a couple weeks there where I just... everything I wrote from Wolverine's Wire was like on my iPad in my bed. I just could not get out, but... That's another way of me saying, hey, y'all, if you got mental health issues, find a way, persevere. All right, we're going to move on here. Listen, as the sun comes out and small businesses are back in business, LinkedIn Jobs makes it easier to grow your team. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the people you want to interview faster and for free. Create free job posts in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame in your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you are hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions, making it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in developing quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know that every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? I know I had, and I know other people who I've recommended to go to LinkedIn. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. That's linkedin.com/lockedoncollege to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. I hope y'all don't mind the bear arms today. It was either put something on where moving might hurt. Listen, I was in the chair. For if you're watching, you know what I'm talking about because I'm pointing. If you're listening only, I'm pointing to my tattoo. I was in the chair for like 6 hours. This thing hurts. I didn't want to put a sleeve on it, but I wanted to get a podcast out tonight. because it has been a while. My intention was to do two today and two tomorrow and whatever, and it's, we're at a late enough hour where one today, gonna try to still do two tomorrow and all of that. Hopefully, knock on wood, that comes to fruition. That is my hope and my goal. So that's what I'm hoping for. Not to make any promises. I'm not making promises anymore when it comes to podcast anything, because life happens. But we're gonna try to do better, to be better. Speaking of being better, I think Michigan has the opportunity to potentially be better in 2022 than 2021, which feels kind of crazy because it felt like such a magical season through most of it. Now, will it actually be better, or will it be just slaughtering a bunch of teams that aren't on the same level? I mean, that's going to be hard to tell until we get to some of those common games like Iowa, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State. But I think Michigan really is set up. And like I said, I was on the Michigan Man podcast with Mike Fitzpatrick and talked about a little bit about why I am really excited about this season. You know, I was projecting 9-3 on the record, 10-2 on the podcast last year. Now I'm 11-1, 12-0. And there's multiple reasons. Obviously, the offense, I feel, is absolutely loaded, and I feel like Michigan is going to open things up on the offensive side of the ball because they can. And I think they should, and I think that that is going to be, if you want to get an elite quarterback, open it up. Open up the passing game. You've got two capable quarterbacks in Cade McNamara and J.J. McCarthy. Do it. Get out there and show prospective quarterbacks, show Dante Moore what he's missing out on. Show Jaden Davis why Michigan's the right place. Show the 2025, 2026 guys, hey, this is why you want to come to Michigan, because what we had done worked, but we are capable of doing more. And I think in today's college football, you have to be a bit more dynamic than Michigan has been. But the good thing is they're still going to be bruisers and brawlers up front, because they have, you know, 3/5 of a Joe Moore award-winning front coming back. And then you add Olu Oluwatimi, who, no offense to Andrew Vistardis, I think is an upgrade. And then you've got Trente Jones and Carson Barnhart battling it out for that right tackle spot. And hey, if say one of those two doesn't work, which I think one of them will, you still have all kinds of other guys that could potentially step up and play that position. You are in a really good spot in 2023. But obviously the schedule is what makes me feel really confident, particularly because I think we all have questions about the defensive side, right? I have less in the sense that I think about it and I'm like, okay, we talk about because the front four is what kind of scares me, right? But at the same time, while you lose 3 or 4 starters, you do have Mozzie Smith coming back. That's a huge boon. Michigan's had every starter, and I know I've said this before, every starter that they've had, save for Taylor Upshaw, because he's still with the program, and I don't know that he would have been this obviously last year, but every starter that they have had that's been an edge rusher since Jim Harbaugh took over, I can't remember beforehand, 2014, I can't remember it. It's out of memory. It's a bad year. I went to every home game. I can't sit there and make distinctions in my mind of what happened that year, but every starter that they've had in the Jim Harbaugh era has been an early round draft pick, right? As from the edge rushing position, they've had a couple guys. You know, Willie Allen was what, a third rounder in his interior. Mo Hurst should have been a first rounder. Heart situation made him a fifth rounder. So not a lot of interior guys per se going externally. Taco Charlton, Chris Wormley, Chase Winovich, Rashawn Gary. Michael Dana was not a starter, nor was he an early round, but I mean, he got drafted. Quiddy Pay, Aiden Hutchinson, David Ajabo. All of them went that high. Third round or better, except for Dana. So that should go to tell you exactly how good the production has been. And I'm really excited to see what some guys like Braden McGregor can do. I said when he committed that whatever Aiden Hutchinson was going to do, I thought Braden McGregor was going to do better. Now, I'm not saying that now. I'm just saying that I think his potential is through the roof. I think Jalen Harrell has the ability to be a Josh Uche. Again, Josh Uche. There's another one. Josh Uche has an ability to be a Josh Uche, a mix between Josh Uche and David Ajabo, right? They've got all kinds of guys that can, I mean, Taylor Upshaw, we've been waiting to see turn it on. Mike Morris, they are talking about like Aiden Hutchinson. I really like all of these pieces that they have. So I am very excited to see what they do. I feel good about the secondary. Let me before I completely go back into it. And this is a pretty good lead into to this week's starting with the with what we're talking about the defense here. You see me looking at my watch. A lot of Michigan names that you know are texting me, which is kind of weird. Jake Butt just now asking about the old tattoo here. He'll be on relatively soon again, by the way. Okay, I digress. I think that the linebackers are going to be really good as well, especially because I think Junior Colson, they think he's going to be elite. He's faster than Devin Bush. He's bigger than Devin Bush. He's got a nose for the football, and I think he had a better freshman season than Devin Bush's first year. Asked to do more, of course. Going into his second year, I think it could be lights out. I think that, you know, Kai Hill Green can be the equivalent of, and he kind of reminds me of Mike McCray. Maybe not as opportunistic, at least from what we've seen yet, but I feel really good about him. I just think that as long as they can stop the run, and I like what they have there, they should be able to do that. And I feel confident in the back end. DJ Turner's obviously your ace, Mike Sainra still, Jamon Green. I like the options you have there. I like Rod Moore. I like whoever else you're going to end up putting over there opposite him, whether it's Makari Page or, and I'm blanking on the other guy, which is not great. Safety for some reason just escapes me. But I like all the pieces, but the big part of it is the schedule. I think that the schedule is extremely beneficial because you have so many games to get right. Let's get more into the schedule here momentarily. So because I obviously have more that I can say, more that I will say. But before we do, listen, betonline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NHL playoffs and Major League Baseball. Wow, that's old. I mean, it's supposed to be new, and I'm just reading like it's a teleprompter. Ooh, put the question mark on the teleprompter. All right, Major League Baseball. Great. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. I promise you that was a new window I clicked open for this week, and it still got that NHL. I promise you. I would take the blame if the blame belonged to me. It does not. You know how I am about these things. All right, so the schedule, we've talked about it ad nauseum. I think it's a good time to kind of just have a rehasher. So obviously it doesn't mean that it's going to just be easy breezy all the way through. And the more I think about it, I think Maryland is the trappiest game. You keep in mind that Maryland comes in week 4 before Michigan goes on the road in week 5. Reminds me of Rutgers last year. Maryland's offense, probably extremely good. Maryland's defense, probably not. But this will be the first time I think that Michigan will get tested offensively and or defensively rather. And I think that could pose some issues, but it could be a situation between that game and some of the others that if they have some rough sledding defensively, they'll have time to fix the glitch. I am not concerned about Iowa. Why? Because Iowa's offense is putrid. Barring some kind of, whoa, where did that come from? I don't expect Iowa to suddenly just be able to do whatever it wants against the Michigan defense. Their best bet is to hold the Michigan offense, and Michigan's offense returns almost everybody. And I think that that's the whole thing is offenses, especially when you're running the same scheme, no wholesale change schematically. and you're bringing back the same personnel, essentially, you have an opportunity to just get better. Weird things happen in Kinnick. I still cannot see Michigan losing that game. Now, come October, Michigan loses that game, I'll be the first to admit I'm wrong. It's more Iowa's defense is the scarier part, and Michigan's offense last year with the same pieces showed that it can take advantage of the Iowa defense, right? So will Michigan be able to run all over them? Probably not. Will Michigan be able to pass all over them? They should. Not all over, but enough. I don't expect 42-3. I do think that it could be a 35-17 type win. I think that that certainly could be in the cards. A couple weeks later, you host Penn State. We'll see what Penn State is. Could that be a slip-up? Absolutely could be. Michigan State, I think Michigan will be mad enough. And I think Michigan's always got better talent than Michigan State, always. And yet always, and has lost more than it hasn't going all the way back to 2008. Still, that said, I can't imagine Michigan losing that game this year. Michigan State has some good pieces in, obviously, the quarterback, Peyton Thorne, Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed, Trey Mosley. We'll see how their incoming transfer running back duo is between the Colorado guy and Jalen Berger. But their defense, we'll see. This is the first time that Mel Tucker will be coming to the Big House with a crowd, right? It will be a hostile environment. It will be a different scenario. And then you got Ohio State is the only other one I'm particularly concerned with. So you got about five games to be concerned with. Trap game in Maryland. I'll add six just because. I'll mention the sixth one. We got trap game in Maryland, Iowa on the road, Penn State, Michigan State. Michigan has a bye before Michigan State, so you hope that helps. Rutgers, I'll mention, comes on November 5th. You've only got a couple games after that, Nebraska and Illinois before Ohio State, but it's on the road. Rutgers has played Michigan tough the last 2 years. And then obviously Ohio State. But again, I just, the only road games of those, there's three of those. I don't think Michigan's going to lose to Rutgers. It just might be a difficult one. I think that this is an 11-1 or 12-0 team. Could I be wrong? Absolutely. I've been wrong before. I will be wrong again. I just feel confident in what Michigan has. They preach that they've got the same renewed energy. They still got a chip on their shoulder. The schedule is just, it plays right into their hands. They'll rattle off three wins, barring an absolute travesty, and then be able to move forward from there. Work out some of those games, get past Maryland, congratulations, you got Iowa. You get past Iowa, congratulations, you got Penn State. Get past Penn State, congratulations, you got Michigan State. Roll through. I just think it works in Michigan's benefit. And I think Michigan is deserving of that credit, especially when you've got so many explosive players on offense. But there are still some caveats. We'll see how the right tackle situation is. I'm confident in center. Right tackle, we'll find out. I think it'll be good, but we'll find out. How will Blake Corum handle being the lead guy? We'll find out. I mean, he mostly was the lead guy last year until he got hurt, and then that's when Haskins really shone. But it'll be him and Donovan Edwards. We'll see how that goes. How will injuries go? How will the defense be? So there's still questions. Things can change on a dime. But I feel good about where the trajectory of this team is sitting here on July 12th. All right, anyway, that's going to do it for us today. Like I said, we're hoping to have a guest tomorrow from PFF. I won't mention names yet because we just want to see what we can do here. If not, we'll try to get them later in the week. And if not, we'll do it next week. But we still, they've got their preview magazine coming out. Otherwise, we'll start getting into the defense. Any news that's coming up, Michigan's probably announcing a president, university president, on Wednesday. So lots to talk about. All right, that'll do it for us now. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.